南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。
Hello, everyone. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thanks for being here. Thank you for your practice and your support of this Sangha. Yeah. I hope this finds you in good health, especially after if those of you who celebrated Thanksgiving in the last couple of days, not all of you, because we're all over the world. But even so, I hope that you were able to see Thanksgiving, traditionally, all kind of family gatherings tend to be challenging in some way. And so my hope is that you just saw how karma is and accept people for their particular stage in their self-awareness. As we're all struggling to do the same thing, aren't we? Nothing brings it out like family, though, right? And yeah, maybe that's a useful segue for today's talk on chapter 5, another brief chapter, maybe even briefer than the last one. So evidently, after so much discussion with Mahamati, trying to hone in on the nature of our goal of enlightenment, of self-enlightenment. Remember, he hasn't gotten there yet. Lotus Sutra is that practice, that methodology, that culminating teaching of Shakyamuni's on how to simply instantiate our Buddha nature, our Buddhahood, our Tathagatahood, yeah? But everything leading up to the Lotus Sutra is, in the Mahayana, more and more focused on developing our bodhisattvaness, preparing our human samsaric existence, our mind of emergent property of the physical reality we live in, to stay in this reality, but for our mind to transcend the entanglements of this reality, to perceive it from a consciousness of experience rather than entanglement. Yeah? And with that experience, that experiential mind, being able to evaluate, be a part of, and enjoy every single manifestation of karma, of the energy at work, without emotional turmoil, basically. Yeah? So, chapter 5, of course, we begin with another question from Mahamati. And he says to Shakyamuni, is the emancipated one, the Tathagata, the fully enlightened one, permanent or impermanent? Which is an interesting question. On one hand, it's frustrating because Mahamati always creates his questions based on the physical realm. And I kind of sympathize with him because he's using words, after all, language, which are the physical realm. So language is just falls short, doesn't it, of this perception of reality, as it were, the formations of energy into form, into things, yes? I mean, that's the world we live in. So, of course. But Buddhahood is something within and without that physical manifestations, yeah? So to ask if Tathagatahood is permanent or impermanent, it's an interesting question, because so far, everything Shakyamuni is, even the word transcending, implies something to transcend. So is this Buddhahood, this Tathagatahood, this ultimate realization of all life moment to moment, has it always been there? Is it something that's just like energy, just always present? Or is it something that's also impermanent, just of this world? It's an interesting question. And I think one that's pertinent to our practice from the standpoint of samsara, the physical world which you and I are in, Buddhahood, because it's a label for an experience within this physical world, within this samsara, because it requires a sentient mind, which doesn't rove around in and outside of the universe by itself. That sentient mind is an emergent property of this physical universe. So Buddhahood, as I've said many times before, is only an experience of this physical world, this samsaric world, though it transcends the attachments, and that's the important part. It doesn't transcend this world. It transcends this attachment, this embroilment with physicality, which only occurs in the mind. Right? A really rudimentary example of what I'm talking about is my little dog reminds me of this every day. She had a severe blow to her nose, broke some bones in her nose, and ever since then, her nose is receding and the blood circulation is poor and she has trouble breathing and apnea and all that. And you've all seen it in the wild or as a pet when an animal gets hurt, in general, they just continue with life. That's just the new norm, and they just go with it. Like a little dog or cat that's lost a leg, they deal. They don't generally sit around and lament the fact that, oh, my nose is broken, why live, I don't want to eat. We see some examples of that, like horses. What a pathetic thing. This beautiful, glorious, muscular animal, the minute it gets hurt, it just gives up. But does it give up in the sense that you and I would? Like waiting to be saved? No, it just literally gives up. The reason I'm pointing this out is because it's only we with sentient minds that are embroiled in the past, present, future thing. I can't do what I used to do. Somebody needs to rescue me so I can in the future. Will I ever? All those kinds of thoughts. That's very human sentient mind. And if you observe animals, sometimes they'll reflect our mood, so don't get confused there. But honestly, I watch my little dog, she snorts, she goes through all these things, and yeah, it's a bother, it affects her life. But then when she looks around and she's hungry or she needs to go out, same old Chloe, same old dog. She just goes for it. There are moments when you think she doesn't even know she's hurt. I'm talking about my little dog here. Animals aren't invested in past, present, future. They just are. It's you and I with our sentient minds that are completely admired in this negotiation of the moment instead of being in the moment. Yeah. So in that sense, enlightenment is very impermanent, because if it's occurring only in our sentient minds, then it requires all of our effort and focus to keep it there. Thus the practice. Yeah. So interesting question. Let's see how Shakyamuni responds. Mahamadi, the Tathagata, is neither permanent nor impermanent. Consider that. Since it's an individual experience for our sentient minds, our human physical universe realms, 3,000 in every single thought moment, remember? Then it is you and I that must work to instantiate and maintain Tathagatahood. Yeah? So Tathagata is neither permanent nor impermanent. It's not something for you to go through the weeds and find. It's already there, but your awareness, your awakening, your implementation of Tathagata, that's all on you and your attention span. Can you keep it alive, so to speak, in your mind? Because either way, there is a fault connected with it. If you label it as permanent or impermanent, then you're not understanding. Remember, and throughout the Langavatara and almost all of Shakyamuni's teachings, he's very absolute in his statements, right? Not a lot of gray. Because either way, there's a fault connected with it. Mahamadi, what fault is connected with either assertion? He's speaking for Mahamati now. If the Tathagata is permanent, he will be connected with the creating agencies. He'll be another thing. For Mahamadi, according to all the philosophers, the creating agencies are something uncreated and permanent. Therefore, it's always been this eternal question, eternity, the magical belief that we aren't in control of our perceptions or universe, that it's always been there and we're just stumbling through it. Right? The philosophers. For Mahamadi, according to all the philosophers, the creating agencies are something uncreated and permanent, but the Tathagata is not permanent in the same sense. Gray is introducing gray area. As the uncreated are permanent. If he is impermanent, the Tathagata, he will be connected with things created in a different way, right? As I've said many times, negation is proof of instantiation. If you say this, but not this can only exist by virtue of this, right? Suchness is an impermanent, constant instantiation of, as opposed to something that is or isn't, which if it isn't, means that at some point it is. The negation is validation, right? Because the skandhas, which are predicable as qualified and qualifying, are non-existent, and because the skandhas are subject to annihilation, destructibility is their nature, right? The skandhas, our senses, vision, sound, taste, feel, they're all predicable on other mechanisms. So they arise from physicality, and when physicality is extinguished, then they disappear, right? Mahamati, all that is created is impermanent, as is a jug, a garment, a straw, a piece of wood, a brick, etc., which are all connected with impermanency. Thus, all the preparations for the knowledge of the All-Knowing One will become useless, as they are things created. So if Tathagatahood, if experiencing Buddhahood, is just yet another creation, a thing of this life, then you can take it or leave it. I don't need enlightenment because that's just another thing I put in my pocket and I'm fine here, and right? That's a misunderstanding of what's available as a completely altered experience of this life. If Buddhahood is just another thing to collect, then it ceases to have the profundity, the paradigm shift that it is, and it becomes just another whatever, right? On account of the distinction being made, the Tathagata indeed would be something created. For this reason, the Tathagata is neither permanent nor impermanent. Again, Mahamati, the Tathagata is not permanent for the reason that if he were, he would be like space. And the preparation one makes for Tathagatahood would be useless, because you're not space. That is to say, Mahamati, space is neither permanent nor impermanent, as it excludes the idea of permanence and impermanence. And it is improper to speak of it as characterized by the faults of oneness and otherness, of bothness and not bothness, of permanence and impermanence. Further, Mahamati, it is like the horns of a hare or a horse or an ass or a camel or a frog or a snake or a fly or a fish. With the Tathagata, as with them, here is the permanency of no birth. Because of this fault of the permanency of no birth, the Tathagata cannot be permanent. So again, talking about this sphere of knowing, the experience of life itself, not this life, your life, that life, but the process that instantiates all phenomena, the universe included, yes? All phenomena in the universe, of which we're some small part, is an instantiation of energies and the awareness, the tathagata-ness of that process is without time. It's within, it's part and parcel, but it stands because it's a mentation outside the formations themselves, the forms, the you and I, the connections, the embroilment. That's all a precipitous result of physical formations. But the energy, their energy is always the same. Although there's no awareness, no witness. And therefore, the Tathagata is not the witness, but the Tathagata-ness, the Buddha-hood, the Tathagata-hood, is the ability, the facility, the opportunity in our sentient minds to get that perspective. So to say it's permanent or impermanent is a misunderstanding of that altered shift, that mental observatory witness of the process, yeah? However, Mahamati, there is another sense in which the Tathagata can be said to be permanent. How? Because the knowledge arising from the attainment of enlightenment, an intuitive understanding and experience, is of a permanent nature. It's always there to be experienced. But the experience itself is in your mind. That's Tathagatahood. Follow? The Tathagata can be said to be permanent as always available, right? Mahamati, this knowledge, as it is attained intuitively by the Tathagatas, the fully enlightened ones, is indeed permanent. It's always there because it's part of the whole process of being. Yes? Whether the Tathagatas are born or not, this dharmata, which is the regulative and sustaining principle to be discoverable in the enlightenment of all Shravakas, Pratyekabuddhas, and philosophers, abides. And this sustaining principle of existence is not like the emptiness of space, which, however, is not understood by the ignorant and simple-minded. Mahamati, this knowledge of enlightenment belonging to the Tathagatas comes forth from the transcendental knowledge, right? The mind of wisdom. This is the only place it occurs, in the sentient mind. Mahamati, the Tathagatas, the fully enlightened ones, do not come forth from the habit energy of ignorance. That's a created thing. And the skandhas, dhatus and ayatanas, the triple world originates from the discriminating of unrealities, but the Tathagatas do not originate from the discriminating of unrealities. So he's more words around the same thing, right? And again, so he, as I pointed out earlier, the triple world is past, present, future. This is the whole illusory concept of attachment, of embroilment, entanglement. Where duality obtains, Mahamati, there is permanency and impermanency because of its not being one holistic being. It's a was and will be. It's a one and duality. Mahamati, the truth of absolute solitude or quiescence, not solitude, is indeed non-dualistic. Because all things are characterized with non-duality and no birth. Because in that mindset of Tathagatahood, the separatedness of things dissolves, not as undifferentiated things, but as an experience of everything instantiating moment to moment. Therefore, the vast array of suchnesses are just being energies forming through time-space and cease to be in identities in of themselves, where this past, present, future takes hold and wants to own, multiply, whatever. That entanglement removed, everything's really free to be. And now he points out again, one of the aspects that keeps repeating itself throughout this these mentations of permanence and so forth, is that we're locked into words, right? Labels, nama, rupa, name and form. It's a very fundamental entrance into the physical samsaric mind. It's very early in the Nidana. It's not first, but as soon as the Nidana identifies energy forming into, boom, name and form. So that's the depth, the nature of the depth of our connection with physicality. Therefore, past, present, future. If we didn't have that attachment, that embroilment, that entanglement, then we would just experience life like so many other things in the moment. This is what I have. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. Everything that we are and encounter wouldn't be obstacle or benefit, because it would just be all wonderful, because this is what we would be alive without the thought of obstacles, because we're alive, or where we're going, because we're alive. You see how contemporaneous Tathagatahood is, being fully immersed in the process of happening, being in life. It's not a negation of anything. It's just a separate being rather than owning and dragging along, which is where, as Shakyamuni's identified, is where we precipitate attachments, longings, stress, anxiety. Bingo. Yeah. Mahamadi, the Tathagatas and fully enlightened ones do not come forth from the habit energy of ignorance, which is concerned with the sitas, manas, mano, vijnana, the skandhas, dhatus, ayatanas. The triple world originates from the discriminating of unrealities, but the Tathagata don't originate from that. Where duality obtains, Mahamadi, there is permanency and impermanency because of their not being one, not perceiving that everything's going through the same process of formations, form, and moving on, right? Instantiating moment to moment. Mahamadi, the truth of absolute quietude is indeed non-dualistic because all things are characterized with non-duality and no birth. Everything is simply being, expressing potential. For this reason, Mahamadi, the Tathagatas, fully enlightened ones, are neither permanent nor impermanent, Mahamadi, as long as there is word discrimination. As long as you start applying labels to things, that's an instant permanentizing, a thingifying of experience. There follows the faulty notion of permanency and impermanency. The destruction of the notion of permanency and impermanency as held by the ignorant, Mahamadi, comes from the getting rid of the knowledge that is based on discrimination and not from the getting rid of the knowledge that is based on the insight of quiescence. There's the difference between annihilation, nihilism, right? Or deification, the flip side of it. And penetrating insight, the whole picture. So it is said, by keeping away permanency and impermanency, and yet by keeping permanency and impermanency in sight, those who always see the Buddhas will not expose themselves to the power of the philosophical doctrines. You won't get sucked in. When permanency and impermanency are adhered to, all the accumulation one makes for the attainment of reality will be of no avail. By destroying the knowledge that is based on discrimination, the idea of permanency and impermanency is kept back. The embroilment is kept away. As soon as an assertion is made, all is in confusion. When it is understood that there is nothing in the world but what is seen of the mind itself, disputes never arise. If your focus in life is about the myriad instantiations as you experience them, then you're constantly alert and moving through time without the sensations, the attachments, the obstacles of past, future. Your being. That's chapter 5. Chapter 6, you can bet your bottom dollar, is going to start with a question from Mahamadi, yeah? Tell me about the rising and disappearing of the skandhas, dhatus, ayatanas. Well, we've already talked about all that, but it'll be interesting to see how Shakyamuni responds. And I don't think this will be an extremely long chapter either. Oh, no, it is. Paramitas. Yeah, that's going to take us a while to go through. So that should be an interesting dialogue for a few videos. In the meantime, stay healthy. Be healthy in mind and body. Keep your practice regular. Keep it strong. Chant with your mind on being in Buddha. Right now, let me course through the world in Buddha-ness. Let me always be aware of how transient things are and live comfortably in that transience. If you can live comfortably in this transient life, then everything in this life becomes a matter of fact in the moment. You're much freer to fully engage in the moment and be surprised or feel secure in everything as it happens. The judgments of good or bad kind of disappear because good and bad is based on it was better before, or it was worse before, or I've progressed from, or I'm going into. See, that past and future boggling the mind is keeping you engaged with stuff that's not even there. What's there is now. I don't want to sound cliche like an old 60s movie, like live in the now. That's a whole different thing. What I'm expressing to you is that the universe itself exists moment to moment. And that at any given moment, you can mentate 3,000 different realms of being. So why not perceive all of those realms as the sparks of life going on? Like fireworks, like a celebration, like sometimes the sparks burn you. But even that is enjoyable because that's the nature of sparks. You see? So please, enjoy your life. Be kind to yourself. You're not always going to get it. You are a samsaric being. How cool is that? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Keep your practice strong. Keep yourself healthy. Be kind to yourself. Like and subscribe. Do that stuff to help us on the vehicle of YouTube to reach more people, grow our Sangha. It's very important. It's part of our practice, right? To get more people to start thinking about how to get out of their own way, their own miseries, their own self-created muck. We all have it. It's just karma. But karma is why we're alive, and karma is how we can realize the truth of this fabulous engine of life. How amazing. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Please take care of your health, and I'll see you in the next one, okay? Thanks for being here. And as always, bye for now.